Every Day is Earth Day is supported by Minnesota Valley Federal Credit Union. With two locations in Mankato since 1934, it pays to bank where you're part owner, member NCUA. More at mnvalleyfcu.coop. And Every Day is Earth Day is also supported by members of the Executive Board of the South Central Minnesota Clean Energy Council. Find out more at smcleanenergy.org. Delighted to have in the studio this morning two very, very involved people with recycling and just care of our environment. So I want to say good morning to Betty Winkworth and Jane Dell. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Always great to have you in. Of course, you're both the co-chairs of the Mankato Zero Waste. And I know that Jane heads up the Beyond Plastics organization, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so what I want to talk about today is things about, well, you said we want to talk about plastics research that's going on that is new, and also about some of the bills being discussed that can help us with this plastics problem.
Yes. In fact, I would like to talk about the latest research and what it is saying about what plastics is doing to our world. And then Betty's going to talk about some local issues that we are, activities we are planning.
Okay.
And I also want to talk about the bills to address these huge issues that we have. So I'm going to start out by quoting a doctor from the latest huge research project that was done called it's from the Annals of Global Health, called Plastic is a Global Issue. And his name is Dr. Landergan. He's an epidemiologist and a pediatrician, and he and 48 other researchers and doctors put together this huge comprehensive document on the effects of plastic. And I want to just quote this because it kind of covers everything that's the problem that we're facing with plastic right now. He says, there is no doubt whatsoever that plastic causes disease, disability, premature deaths, economic damage in the form of $1.5 trillion in healthcare costs, damage to our ecosystem at every stage of its life cycle. The impacts of plastic pollution are far-reaching, accelerating climate change, creating greenhouse gases, polluting our land, air, and water, impacting low-income indigenous communities and communities of color. Their warning is, if we don't stop releasing pollutants into our environment now, we may pass the tipping point that would cause ecosystem collapse, making life on Earth tenuous. We are consuming 3.8 million particles a year that are found in our blood, veins, organs, brains, lungs, intestines, and fetuses. And so there's so many different aspects of the damage that plastics are causing. I'll just kind of gloss over the greenhouse gases and the emissions because I want to get to the health effects.
Right.
Because that's the most recent research. So so people don't despair, there's a huge number of bills now.
Okay.
Circulating in every state. I mean, it's amazing how many bills. There are four that have already been passed to reduce plastic production in four states. There's another 11 that are being introduced. And all over the world, there's 141 countries that are addressing this and have passed bills to either have a tax or ban certain plastics. Even huge countries like China, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and 34 African countries in Canada and the EU. So
now, are these in discussion, or are these things that actually passed?
They have actually passed.
Okay.
So the 11 that are in discussion are in the states right now, but four have already passed in Colorado, California, Maine, and Oregon. So
and what are those bills about? What do they say?
The bills are called We have one too in our state. Their bills are called the Extended Producer Responsibility Bills, which is kind of hard to get your head around. You don't understand what that means. So we renamed ours to be the Packaging, Waste, and Cost Reduction Bill.
Okay.
And what they would do is the producers of plastic would own up to the responsibility they have in what they produce that's safe and not safe and what they're putting out in the environment. So if what they're producing is harming us, like it's plastic with chemicals and excessive packaging, unsustainable materials, they have to pay a hefty fee. If they are using no plastic and no packaging, or if they're using very little and it's sustainable packaging like glass, metal, paper, they pay a small fee, or if it's a refillable system. So what that does is it incentivizes them, the carrot and stick approach, it incentivizes them to reduce their packaging. Because we all know that there's excessive packaging. It's ridiculous.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, see it all over the roadsides and, I mean, everywhere.
Well, yeah, and when you get something, a package, it's just, you've got all the bubble wrap, and then you've got that wrapped in more bubble wrap, and then it's in a package that's wrapped in plastic, and then it's delivered in plastic, and it's like, come on, guys, we don't need all this plastic.
Oh, I just got a new electric bike, and it was in a big, giant, cardboard box, okay, cardboard, fine, but then it was wrapped in all this foam stuff, and then it had more cardboard pieces. It was just excessive. And my husband said, well, this certainly isn't ecologically friendly. And I said,
no.
You know, the electric bike itself, probably a good thing, but the packaging was not.
That is, it's all just unnecessary. They're just putting it there because they make a profit from it. So,
well, do you think, though, because it seems like with delivering and things get damaged so easily, is looking at alternatives, because they got to send it, so you don't want to damage it. So how do you do that?
Well, there are alternatives, actually. There are alternatives out there. There are those, what are they called, the little noodly things that they throw in? Packing
peanut things?
Peanuts, yeah.
They look like peanuts, but they're made from corn.
They're made from corn.
Like, yeah, okay, yeah.
So there's definitely alternatives. It's just that what this bill would do would incentivize them to, well, the fee that they would pay, part of that would go towards helping them redesign their packaging so that it is sustainable and it does use sustainable materials like those peanut packaging, whatever they're called.
Yeah, you know, one of the best things that I loved, I got some native plants for shoreline planting, and the packing they used to keep those, you know, they were in compostable pot or
like a container. Fiber.
Yeah, like a fiber. Yeah. But then they packed so they wouldn't tip over and things, was shaved wood. So it was like shaved woods that I used then for mulch on top of around the plants, and it was perfect because then it just became part of my landscape.
Yeah. Oh, great idea. And there you're seeing more and more of that, like the fiber formed.
Yes.
Like we do with egg cartons. Those are all compostable. And so I'm seeing more where they form it to exactly fit perhaps your electric bike. And then they have a lot more even wads of paper that can be recycled.
Yeah, and fiberboard is compostable.
Yeah.
And there's also a lot of innovation going on right now using agricultural residue and mushroom root, which is an incredibly strong, you almost can't break it. But when it decomposes, and it can form into any form, but when it decomposes, it only does so when you get it in the soil, so you don't have to worry about a life shelf problem.
Sure.
And it's actually an amendment because it's mushroom and agricultural.
Right.
Stuff.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
So it's good for the soil. So there are things we can do, and we need to incentivize them to say, no, we've had enough of this. You have to transition. You have to make profits off of something that's going to be good for the earth, not harm the earth. And so that bill would do that.
Isn't there money also in the bill to develop alternative packaging?
Right. And also to make a functional recycling system, which we don't have right now. It's so confusing and complicated.
Where is this bill now that you're talking about? Is it being proposed? Is it?
No, it's already it has a bill number, which I can give you, which I have right here.
And it's really in the process right now.
So it's going through
the House.
Okay.
And it's passed, did we say, two different committees, and it's in a third.
It's passed the Environmental Committee, and it's passed the Commerce Committee. And now it's House File 3577, Senate File 3561.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes as it passes. They have a couple more committees to go through. In the Senate, it's stalled right now, so that's something that we have to work on.
So what exactly would this particular bill do then?
It would reduce our plastic waste, and it would reduce all waste.
Is this at the production level, like factories and things?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Mm-hmm. The people who are producing the packaging for the companies.
Okay.
And it would go a long way. We need to, according to the research, we need to reduce our production of plastic by a third if we are to save the planet, basically.
Okay.
I mean, if we don't want the oceans to die, which they will if we continue cranking up our production, they'll die by 2050. So if we reduce that by a third, that'll save our oceans, and it'll really help to decrease the greenhouse gas emissions right now that are coming from the production of plastic. And it'll decrease our dependence on fracking and all of the whole chain of fossil fuels that's so damaging to our ecosystem. And it will definitely reduce our healthcare costs because the latest research that's come out about what microplastics are doing to people is astoundingly awful. And and we have to stop putting the microplastics into our environment. And when the latest two documents that came, research studies that came out, one from New England Journal and the other from the Science and Technology Journal, have traced that we are consuming 3.8 million particles a year, and that's from breathing it in and consuming it through our food. Because it's in all of our food. Consumer Reports just came out with a report researching how many microplastics are in our food, and it's in almost everything.
When did the microplastics start getting in our food? You know, we haven't always had plastics around, so do you know approximately when that started? Because obviously we're using more and more and more all the time.
Yeah, okay, so in the 1950s, we were cranking out 100 million tons of plastic.
Okay.
By now, 2000, I think the last statistics, 2019, it is now 400 million particles. And what happens is those particles end up floating around and being caught by dust. And they travel all over the world. So you can't avoid them. Even in places where people aren't, you have plastic, microplastics, because they're carried around with the dust.
So we're out in a nice park or something. We're still breathing.
Oh, yeah.
So wherever you go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wherever you go, you're mm-hmm. breathing and eating plastics. And it comes from tires on the road.
Oh, sure.
The friction of tires, that blows up and gets caught by dust and carried. And one of the biggest, which people don't think about, biggest contaminants is our polyester clothing.
Right, and there's a lot of that.
And when mm-hmm. you wash it in the washing machine, those filaments get in the wastewater.
Oh.
And they're not filtered out because there's no filter for plastic now. Hopefully there will be in the future. And they end up in the sludge at the wastewater treatment plant, and then that sludge is used on our agricultural fields. So you've got plastic coming mm-hmm. from agricultural fields as well as the ocean.
And Samsung has actually developed it's about $150, but it's something that will be a filter to your existing washer.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, the water comes in through and then comes back out and gets filtered, and then you just empty it periodically.
Now, this is for your washer.
This is for your washer.
Well, are there things you can use on your sink, the stuff you're drinking? Is there something that is available that takes out some microplastics now, or is that?
Reverse osmosis is the only thing.
That does take it out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, but that is, I think, something that people really have to be conscious of what are you putting in your mouth. You have a plastic straw? Great, you just got some.
Oh.
You drink out of a styrofoam? Well, there's a lot of other problems with styrofoam, too. But water bottles are probably the worst.
Oh, and how many do we use? Pop bottles, water yeah. bottles, and yeah. things like
people
that?
People say, well, I reuse them. That's even worse. You're getting more out
you're
because they're breaking down.
You're leaching more plastics and microplastics. Yeah. The studies they did was between 250,000 and 500,000 particles per liter.
Oof.
Of plastic bottled beverages mm-hmm. and water. So,
and now that goes in our bodies. Do we secrete it?
Yeah, so here's what happens once it gets in our bodies. It has kind of jagged edges, the microplastics, so they are able to slip through the lining of our intestines and our stomach and get into our bloodstream. And then they get into our blood cells, and they can cause damage and cell death. They circulate around our blood and get into our organs, so they can cause liver and kidney damage and other organ damages, and they get into our brain. They're now getting into our brain, and they kind of worry that they think it might be connected with memory loss and Alzheimer's. They've done some recent studies on that. And when they're doing surgery now, they are finding, this is the latest two reports that I read, the surgeons are finding that people who had strokes and heart attacks have a high percentage of microplastics embedded in their blood vessels. In the plaque of their blood vessels.
So we're getting, in addition to cholesterol, you're getting that plastic that's plugging you up too?
Yep, mm-hmm. and they think that's a factor in why they had a heart attack or a stroke. But it's also being found in our feces. And people who have intestinal disorders, like inflammatory bowel disorder, they have a very high, much higher percentage of microplastics in their stool. So there's a lot of connections here with different problems. And you not only have the microplastic problems, you have the added chemical problems, which the research is showing. The Pediatric Association, Dr. Tresandi, who's the head of that, came out with a statement saying that phthalates are causing cardiovascular problems. Phthalates are one of the chemicals in plastics that's in all of them. They're causing cardiovascular problems, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, et cetera, and that the bisphenols are causing early puberty and brain dysfunction in children and diabetes. They're hormone disruptors, so they're causing diabetes and obesity by disrupting the hormones, mimicking the hormones that regulate our body systems. So they're very concerned about children, and they're saying don't feed them out of plastic.
We hear so much about now kids with ADHD and autism and things like that. I don't know if there's any connection. I have
there is definitely a
son on the autism spectrum. Yep. I've got one with ADHD. And, you know, I think, well, what did I do wrong?
No, it's the thyroid gland. The thyroid gland is regulated by hormones, and when these hormone-disrupting chemicals interfere with that, it interferes with our brain function, and it causes ADHD and autism. And then the other huge red flag that all these researchers are telling us is with fertility, because bisphenols affect fertility as well as other chemicals in plastics. And they say that if we don't stop consuming the huge amount that we're consuming on a daily basis, by 2050 we may not be able to reproduce. Because right now, the last 50 years, our fertility rate has gone down by half. And it'll keep going down.
Is it worse in developed countries than undeveloped countries? Have they ever done a study to show that or not necessarily?
It's it's the same in developing
countries.
So they're
using all the stuff too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, they get all of our waste that we don't want.
Oh.
They get about 1.1 billion tons a year of our recyclables that we don't want to recycle. And they have no infrastructure set up to deal with that. So they end up either burying it in shallow landfills or burning it in open fields with no pollution filters at all. And it's really affecting their health, as well as ours, of course.
What other things are being done? You mentioned this bill that's in currently under review. Are there other ones out there, too?
There are.
And
there are three other bills. One of them is called a ban on the toxic chemicals in plastic. Mm-hmm. And that would ban the endocrine disruptors, or the hormone disruptors, the carcinogens, and the flame retardants. And that has that apparently was submitted, got lost in the reviser's office. So it has not come out to be introduced because it doesn't have a bill number yet.
Oops.
And that was the one that everybody who put it together, Clean Water Action, was very instrumental in helping to create that bill, really thought that that would have the best impact on the chemical, dealing with the chemicals. And so if it isn't out there, it may not pass because time is running out for being able to introduce bills.
So has nobody reintroduced it then?
Not yet.
Oh.
They're still working on the bill number in the reviser's office. And it has a good chance of passing because the PFAS bill ban passed.
Okay.
So, you know, people understand that these chemicals are destroying our health and costing us, as it said, $5 trillion in healthcare costs.
And what are some of the others?
The other really good bill is the bottle deposit refund bill, which would require that people buy a bottle or a can, they have to pay a deposit, and then they bring the can or bottle back and they get their deposit back.
Well, we used to do that with the glass bottles way back when.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those bills, they've been introduced in a lot of different states passed, and where they are passed, they really significantly increase the recycling ability of cans and bottles.
Is that like some states, they'll say, you know, on the bottle, it'll say 5 cents or 10 cents per bottle if you turn this in. So some people go out like purposely looking for these things to make a little money. I mean,
yeah.
But I know, is it Iowa or someplace? Because I've seen them sometimes on the bottles, and I'm like, oh, well, I can't do it, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's a very effective way to increase recycling. And people that come here from other states that have that say, how come you don't have this? We're so shocked that you don't have this in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. It's so effective in keeping
Why
stuff
don't
out
we?
Of the landfill. People, certain groups are opposing it.
Oh.
And it's grocery stores, for one, because they don't want to deal with having to do the deposit return. And some of the, I can't remember the other opposition. There's a lot of opposition to it.
Well, what can we do as, I mean, you, both of you, Betty and
Jane.
slipped my mind for this. Betty and Jane, you guys have been out there really for years, been encouraging people to recycle and do all things that are good. How do we convince others to do something? You just had me sign something. You want to talk about that, what you just had me sign?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, so I think the key, we have to change. Okay, it's good to do things on a personal level.
Yes.
But that's not going to change our culture. It's not going to change our throwaway culture. So what we have to do is pass things on city level, state level, federal level to address the plastic pollution problem. And then that will change the infrastructure, the mindset. It'll force people to start doing things differently. You have to do a paradigm change, basically.
Right.
So, so we started on the local level because that's usually where things start. We have a resolution that we want people to sign to put a fee on plastic bags. And one of the bills, one last bill that I didn't mention was a bill that would overturn the ban on being able to ban products locally. And that's a weird bill, but the
what does that mean?
The plastic lobbyists were able to get a bill passed that says that local governments cannot, or local communities cannot pass bans.
Oh, okay.
It has to be done statewide.
So that took the control of being able to pass a ban on plastic bags in our state. And there are other states that did that, too. They were alarmed because a lot of states were starting to pass plastic bag bans. And
right.
It's like, well, we got to stop this. So they ran around and tried to get convince as many governments as possible to have a ban on that being able to be done. So that's one of the bills that's there right now, is to overturn that that ban and allow us to ban things that are bad mm-hmm. for the environment. So we can't ban plastic bags right now, but we can put a fee on them.
Okay.
And that's a pretty good incentive.
Yeah, it seems to work.
Yeah, and Aldi's has already made a statement they are not going to have any more plastic bags.
Well, I know you go to Trader Joe's, for example, and there they sell the totes and things, so you can bring mm-hmm. your own tote, and I see a lot of people doing that there.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah.
And even in the produce area, when they first started, stopped using the plastic, they had compostable bags for you to use in produce.
Sure. I mean, I imagine helps mm-hmm. a little bit by little bit.
Yeah, so that's one of the things on the resolution. And then the other is asking food establishments to give out plastic utensils, straws, and condiment packets on request only. So not to just give them out blithely.
Well, they used to put a whole handful of ketchup
yeah.
packets in. I mean,
yeah.
my son
you
would probably use them all, but most
you
people
don't.
Probably.
And then it ends up in the garbage.
No. Yeah.
So if they, and they save money. So that's a really simple ask.
Sure.
Because then they don't have to buy all this junk. You know, the yeah. person mm-hmm. says, I would like a straw. You give them a straw, but you don't just hand it out to them mm-hmm. without thinking. So
and the businesses actually like that one.
Yeah, they do.
You know, and there are some surprising things like that where they realize. They don't have to spend the money there.
And the other thing is that there are grants now out, two different organizations, Minimize and Rethink Disposable, that have grants, and they will come down and talk to a food establishment and say, where can we help you reduce your throwaway okay. plastic and make more profit by using reusable products in your restaurant and compostable or sustainable packaging for takeout. And they have, and then they can fund the transition. They can buy the reusable products for you to use, and restaurants save a lot of money.
Well, so who is this that offers these? Where, how? Like, if I'm a business owner and I hear this, and I say, "Well, who do I go to do that?"
There are two organizations. One is called Minimize.
Okay.
And I have the contact information for them.
Isn't that something you can just Google too?
Well, yeah,
Minimize.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Just get Google yeah. Minimize. Right?
And
Google.
The other one is Rethink Disposable. Minimize. The woman Keely Schultz from Minimize has already come down. She has come down twice now and talked to some of the local people and had really very successful visits with them. I have the number if you want to take it.
Well, you can give it, and then, you know, people can also Google it because they probably won't remember.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you this sheet of paper.
Sure. And then also people can Google minimize and find out more information. And maybe it's going to tell your local stores that you want them to consider mm-hmm. this. Because, I mean, I don't think a lot of people say anything. You just grab your bag and you go.
Yeah. I've started doing, as you go through the drive-thru, and when I'm placing my order, I say, no plastics or napkins or even ketchup. Thank you.
Sure. Okay.
But you have to double check because
they do.
It's so automatic. Yes. So automatic. And I understand that.
You have to jump on it before they start giving it to you.
Yeah, but before I take my foot off of the brake, I look in, I say, oh, no thanks.
Right. Well, good for you. Yeah. I mean, that is an important
thing. But I don't remember it all the time either.
Well, so we have this group that's going around and trying to get restaurants to buy into the Skip the Stuff, it's called.
Skip the Stuff?
Skip the Stuff.
Okay. Okay. Is that local?
It's a national group, but we're doing it locally too.
Okay,
and then also asking them to try to transition away from using throwaway stuff.
So, do you go door to door at these places, or how does that work?
You have to make an appointment.
Oh, okay.
With the manager, and then you go in and sit down and say, you know, this is some give them some facts about how much money they're going to save if they stop.
Are most of them open to even seeing you?
They are.
Well, they are.
Well, okay. Here's the interesting thing: our local groups like Tandem Bagels, Coffee Hague,
locally owned.
Yeah, Pub 500. They're all about it. You don't even have to explain. It's like, oh, of course, we'll do this.
Yeah.
I even got one of the grocery stores to say, yeah, I agree with this.
Okay.
Of course, they didn't get okay from the corporate office.
See, but and that's a different
You know, if they had...
It's a corporate, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They wanted to sign it, but they... Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you just go around to the stores. I have not approached some of the bigger corporate ones yet because those are going to be more challenging.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was thinking places like Walmart that are... They got these everywhere, and they got... Everything has to go through corporate, you hear, or chains or franchises, things like that.
But you know what's sad? Walmart and other places do not give out plastic bags. They've stopped doing that.
Okay, because I haven't been there in years.
They have laws in other states, so they don't do it in some of the... In the states that they have laws about plastic bag bans, they don't give them
out. Oh, okay, because they sure do it here.
Yeah, they do it here. Yeah.
And so, even some, like, Hy-Vee Hilltop, they have, you know, instead of the checkout yourself, they've got a in one area, I was astonished, they had somebody ringing things up for you in that usual checkout yourself area and putting every single thing into a plastic bag without even asking.
Yeah.
Oh. People were walking out with 15
it's,
plastic
it's ridiculous.
Bags. Yikes. So it's slipping in some places.
But this is a lesson for us. If we pass laws, all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, we can do this. Yeah. Whereas before, it's like, no, we can't do this. It's too complicated. It's too hard, blah, blah, blah. Oh, sure, we can do this. Starbucks in Minneapolis gives out compostable cups. They don't have throwaway cups. They've already transitioned.
Good.
So that's because they have a law. So you really need the law to make the change.
All right. Mm-hmm. We only have a couple minutes left, sadly, in this segment.
You
go so fast. So I just want to know, where can we go? How do we find out how to encourage these bills to pass, sign something? Where can we go? Where's like a central point that we can, whether it's
I tell you what, I'll send you information about the bills and the letters for people to send.
But I mean, is there a website or something, like go to Mankato Zero Waste? I've got that up
yes,
right now.
Yes, there is a website. Mankato Zero Waste does have those letters.
Okay, perfect, because I want a central place because there's too many numbers and things to give out.
And I also just want to quickly mention that Mankato area is having a roundtable with legislators This Sunday, 1 to 2:30 at Centenary Church, and they have legislators coming, Nick Friends and Senator Mitchell, and they're going to discuss decarbonizing homes. And they want people to show up to say, yes, we want to see a phasing out of fossil fuel for energy for our homes and incentives to do renewable energy. So if people can go to that would be wonderful. That's 1 to 2:30.
At the Centenary Church downtown Mankato?
Yep, on Sunday.
On Sunday. Okay, 1 to 2:30 p.m. I hope people hearing this will show up. And
please go to that.
Maybe share some of the things that you guys have talked about.
And you go ahead, Betty.
Go ahead, Betty.
Okay, so I want to emphasize that we've got some really great resources here in town.
Okay.
For one thing, I love going to Blue Earth County Waste Wizard, and I'm talking about recycling. You say there's so many questions about what can we do. And that has been set up since 2019, very painstakingly, by Molly Chelsvig, a recycling specialist, and she's done a fabulous job. So you can enter. You want to be sure and say Blue Earth County Waste Wizard, because every mm-hmm. county has a different Waste Wizard,
sure. okay.
meaning they have different items that they can handle or they can't.
So your county, wherever your county
yeah,
is.
Yeah, right. Okay. So go there and find out, okay, where do I put this carpet? You know, and she she does it. They do it in best idea, and then other. So they give
so
you choices.
So if I have, like, let's say I'm getting a new hot water heater, mm-hmm. would it tell me, like, where I could put my old one, or what happens to that? Oh, okay,
it
wonderful.
It will probably do that. Now, what they also have done, and it's great, because the county has taken over the Ponderosa landfill, and they have really upped the recycling. They have a new building out there. Well, it's probably a few years old now, but they have a whole plan interior that you – residents take, instead of driving down to the dump, you're safer to drive through this building, and then you leave your waste, or you can go around and drop it at different recycling points. And one is mattresses for $20, and they actually get them recycled.
Oh,
they get them taken apart and recycled. They have metals and cardboard. You can drive around and do these different things, or just leave your pile there. And then you can, if there's a fee, they can pay that, you know, as they go out. So that one you can find, say, doing Googling Solid Waste Blue Earth County, because otherwise it's kind of hard to get to that site.
Okay.
Now, we have on MankatoZeroWaste.com, we have a really great, and I brought you a copy of it, document that is where to take difficult to recycle items.
Oh,
and
good.
It is based in Mankato area.
Wonderful.
And it's two-sided, so be sure and print out both sides. And it tells you all the places where you can. We have a really great list of recycling center items out at Blue Earth County Waste Management Campus in La Hillier. And then we also have Green Tech Recycling that, as a resident, you can get a lot of things recycled free, electronics, et cetera. But it lists all of that.
And then tell them about the Sustainability Fair.
Yeah, and we have a we're calling it a Waste Reduction Fair.
Okay.
We're trying something new. It's going to be April 27th at Sibley Park Pavilion. And we're going to have a nice lunch, and we're going to have giveaways. But we really want you to be able to talk to and get ideas for how can I, in my own life, reduce waste.
Why don't we, when that gets closer, have you come on again and let's talk about that, because we are out of time now.
Yeah.
But I would love to, you know, when that gets closer, I think it's such an important issue to really, you know, remind people, because a lot of times I don't know all those resources that you have mentioned and that sort of thing. Hey, I want to share something. Somebody sent a text to us. We have a text machine here that people text that says, I love the work Jane and Betty have been doing. They are absolutely inspirational. Thank you both for your tireless work. From Julie D.
Oh, how nice.
So on that
that's
note.
That's so nice to
yeah,
be appreciated.
That's very
and,
sweet.
You know, I appreciate
Thank you
too.
Julie
and I'm
D.
so happy that you have come on the show. And you have so many things. I want to have you back again to share more, because you guys you do amazing work. Thanks for sharing about the bills. And thanks for encouraging people to get out and talk to your legislators, especially you mentioned the Legislative Roundtable session this Sunday, 1 to 2:30 at the Centenary Methodist Church.
520 South 2nd Street.
Yeah, decarbonizing your home. I wish I was going to be there. Sadly, I'm going to be at another meeting. But
501 South 2nd Street.
Such an important topic.
And maybe we can even mention one of these bills.
Yeah. Well, I think you should.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
As long as we got them there.
Right. Yep. And then do you have your signatures that you're going to be having?
Thank you.
Having people take their signatures there, too?
That would be good.
Okay. There you go. Thank you, ladies, so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Karen. We really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, we'll have you back for sure.
Okay.
Every Day is Earth Day is supported by Minnesota Valley Federal Credit Union. With two locations in Mankato since 1934, it pays to bank where you're part owner, member NCUA. More at mnvalleyfcu.coop. And Every Day is Earth Day is also supported by members of the Executive Board of the South Central Minnesota Clean Energy Council. Find out more at smcleanenergy.org.